Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, why don't we give that hand clap of praise to the Lord today? He's worthy. Oh, I kind of feel like David in the house right now. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together today. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. Anybody here thankful for the mercy and the grace of God today? Amen. I'm so thankful for God's blessing, God's provision. Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation to be here. Give honor to you and your family. Amen. The great legacy that this church has. Amen. I give high honor to those, amen, that have come before and those that are going to come after. Amen. What a beautiful lighthouse, a beautiful beacon of God's grace and God's mercy here. Amen. In this community. Amen. It is such an honor to be here. And I just feel good in the Holy Ghost today. Amen. I feel my wife is going to be really nervous right now, but I just feel very at home. Such a great spirit of the Lord in this place today. Amen. And yes, we are missionaries. Amen. And we're grateful for the support and the great investment in missions that this church has made. Wouldn't it be cool in eternity to see and meet all of the people that have came to Christ as a result of the investment of this church? That is going to be an amazing day. Amen. People from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, people that you've never known are going to be coming up to you with a spirit of thanksgiving. Amen. For what you have done. Amen. That's such a wonderful thing, isn't it? Such a wonderful thing. Amen. I want to turn in the word of the Lord today to Acts, the 27th chapter. Acts chapter 27. Verse number 13. And as you're I still hear some pages turning. Just so that you know what the background here is, Paul is on his way to Rome. Now I know, I understand that it's Palm Sunday, and don't worry, I haven't forgotten. Amen. But Paul is on his way to Rome. It was prophesied to him that he would stand before Caesar, that he would speak in Rome. Isn't it amazing to me, though, Paul being the great, one of the greatest apostles, the evangelist, the greatest evangelist, I would say, of them all, wrote most of the New Testament. And here he is on his way to Rome, not on a cruise boat, not on a yacht, not on a private plane, no limos, but he's on a prisoner vessel, transporting a prisoner transport vessel on his way. Sometimes you go through stuff doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. See, sometimes we try to abort what God's doing because it's not comfortable for us. But here is Paul on his way in the perfect will of God on a prisoner transport vessel. I just feel like, just throw that in before I start, I felt like God prompted me this morning that there's some people going through some things. Don't worry, keep walking. God's walking with you. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of. Wasn't a place of residence. Wasn't a place where he occupied. He said it's a place of mandatory transition. He said, I'm going to find something out about God in this valley that's going to put me in my next position of mountaintop. And Paul is being transported. And I love this, that Paul has a word from God. In the middle of this, God, in the middle of this trying time, God has a word for him and says, don't go further. Tell him don't go further. But because of comfort, they said, no, we can't. We're going to keep going. It's a hurricane season. And where I am in Fiji and the Solomon Islands, We understand hurricane season, and we call it cyclone season. And they entered into that place, and that's where we pick it up. They didn't listen to Paul. They didn't heed his warning. And in verse 13 of Acts 27, it says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." When the wind blew softly, they thought, "I know better, and we're going to go." It says, "But not long after there arose against it, it was a great tempest of wind, the greatest storm of all storms. And the ship was tossed," and verse 15, 16, and 17 talk about that. Verse 18, I want to pick it up. It says, "And we being exceedingly tossed with tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." They did everything they could do. They've done everything they could do. It says in verse 19, "And on the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." They had done everything they could do. Now, if that's as far as you get in my message today, let me give you one more thing. When you've done all you can do, that's a great place to be. Because that's just the beginning of what God can do. Sometimes we never get to what God can do because we've not done all that we can do. But when you, I tell you what, some of you come in here today and say, "God, I've done everything that I know what to do." Whoo, get excited, because you're now stepping into the realm that God operates in. And verse 20 says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away." And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. I want to preach a little while this morning on this simple subject. When you can't see the stars. When you can't see the stars. Lord Jesus, I thank you today. Thank you for your presence. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for the Holy Ghost that we feel in this place right now. Lord, I pray that you would minister to somebody today, that your anointing would destroy any yoke that would hinder the moving or flowing of your spirit. Lord, I pray that someone would be encouraged and someone would be empowered right now in this place. Lord, let your will be done. Let your purpose be accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. I stand before you today as a missionary to Fiji and the Solomon Islands, but as an evangelist as well. And I'm excited today, and sometimes when missionaries come, you hear the great things that God is doing. And I could stand here and I can do that same thing and tell you it's the exciting parts in the last little while from February to February, how over 2,000 people have been baptized in micro crusades in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And God is filling them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I could tell you today about Bible schools and how we started with one and 25 students, and now there's 7 campuses and almost 200 students that have accelerated in the last 7. And we can clap and we can get excited about those things, and missionaries are really good about that, because they slide in and we don't tell you about the days when you can't see the stars. Amen. We hear about the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And I can tell you the story about the lady who was locked in her home during COVID and couldn't go out, but we had an outdoor service and she was singing along with them in her house. And all of a sudden she said to sing in a language that she'd never heard before. And so she came out to ask them, "What is wrong with me?" And we said, "There's nothing wrong with you." Amen. That's the same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen. When you begin to sing, God's spirit began to move in your heart, in your life. can tell you about the wonderful story about the lady who, in that same service in her house, that heard preaching of the power, healing power of God. Amen. Growing up in a denomination that was told that she know that there was no more miracles after the apostles had died and how Jesus had died. And so she heard for the first time the power of a healing God, and simply in her home laid hands on her abdomen and prayed a very simple prayer in the name of Jesus. And that tumor shriveled up and fell off onto the floor. Amen. And God reigned supreme in her home that day. Amen. When our missions team walked in and there's people standing around staring at this tumor that had fallen off on the floor. Amen. Those are exciting times to regress. But we don't tell you about the times of struggle and the times of frustration and the times of discouragement, amen, that we enter into during those seasons of life. And sometimes I wish I could tell you that our lives were lives, you know, of super spirituality. I wish I could tell you I was so spiritual that I burped celestial air, amen, but that's not the case, amen. We go through times of struggle and times of loneliness and times of discouragement and times of frustration. Amen. And times where everything doesn't go as planned. Amen. We have special services where the electricity gets shut off. We have seasons when cyclones come through. Amen. And shut things down. My neighbor on the island of Vanuatu has just spent 19 days with no electricity because of a cyclone, two cyclones that went through. I'm telling you this to say, amen, I understand the plight that everybody goes through. The scripture says it rains on the just and the unjust. And Paul now finds himself in a storm, really, that he shouldn't be in. It was Paul that said, hey, guys, don't go. God told me there's going to be a big storm. There's going to be, the ship's going to be lost. There's going to be people that are going to be killed, but the wind blew softly. Be careful when the winds blow softly. Amen. But he said, I know that the wind is blowing softly and it doesn't look like it right now, but God has given us a word. And here we find Paul. They ignored his word, and Paul finds himself in a storm that he should not have been in. Now, I don't know if I'm preaching just to myself right now, but I don't know about you, but I've found myself in situations that was the result of other people's choices. If I could say their drama slopped over into my life. Amen. Other people, sometimes their situations and the things that they go through come into my life. And the scripture says that it got so bad, that they hadn't seen the stars or the sun for many days. And as a result of that, all hope. Everyone say all hope. All hope that they would be saved was taken away. Amen. There's amazing that when you try to enter the storms of life, if you're not careful, amen, we can find ourselves in a place where all hope would be taken away. Amen. We can find ourselves very quickly in the seasons and the climates, the political climates, the social climates, and all the things that are going on. We can find ourselves sometimes in a hopeless state, or feel like we can't seem to make a difference, or we can't seem to make headway. Amen. And sometimes we're like that ship that in the storm, and that crew that was a part of it, that all hope was taken away. But I'm here to tell you today, amen, how to work and how to operate when you can't see the stars. Amen. When it seems like darkness is encapsulating you. I read a scripture that said in the book of Psalms, David says, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Amen. I got thinking about that scripture and began to, I was going through a season where we were working through some stuff. And I, in the middle of that season, God gave me that scripture. And I, and as a result of that, it's something that's fired me up all the time. Amen. Because it says, in the shadow of thy wings. Amen. When the wings of God come over us, amen, there's a shadow and a darkness that seemingly overcomes us. Amen. But when you know the shadow, amen, when you know what the reason for that is, amen, I may be going through a time, but my God is bigger than my situation. Amen. My God is greater than my situation. Amen. When I may be going through the darkest time of my life, there's a shadow that's bigger than that. I'm trying to tell somebody, you may be standing in the shadow of a challenge, but the shadow of the Almighty is much, much larger than the shadow of your situation. That's why I can dance. That's feel like preaching in here. Amen. That's why I can come into church on a Sunday morning, on Palm Sunday, and I've been going through it all week long, but I still get a hold of my palm branch. I still got up and I begin to worship, because you got to understand, the shadow of the Almighty is bigger than the shadow that I'm in right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, someone shout hallelujah. And so we find Paul in verse 21, it says, and after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. I love this story because I love that part, because it speaks to the humanity of Paul. It speaks to his, like I said, sometimes we spiritualize these men in the Bible so much that we miss their humanity. And we feel like we fall short because we're not them. But the reality is, Paul left them and hid in the boat. He was hiding in the bottom of the boat. And it says, but after a long time, I don't know what happened in there, but somewhere along the line, God got a hold of Paul. And it says, and after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Now, this is where I can tell you he had a bad attitude at first. Because he showed himself, because I see myself in him right now. It says, he said this, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loose from Crete, and to gain all this harm and loss. Could I put that in the Troy Wickett translation today? And it would simply be this, I told you so. Paul couldn't resist. See, I understand that because, you know, I have a lovely wife and I'm thankful for that. And I rarely get the opportunity to say, I told you so. It's normally the other way around. By the end of this year, we'll probably have about 50 or 60,000 miles on. And that's a lot of wrong turns. And I have heard over and over, I told you so. It's not bad enough that I have one, but I have Siri also telling me. So that means I have two women telling me what to do in the vehicle. And so Paul, being the man that he is, realizing that this opportunity doesn't come along very often, he said he had a word from God, but he said, before I get to the word from God, let me look at you and say, ah, I told you so. If you'd listen to me. I love that because it shows Paul's humanity. It shows that he's just like me. That he has bad days, and he has grumpy days, and he has frustrating days. And even when he can't see the sun, stars, he gets a little rough as well. See, sometimes you think Pastor Portman and everybody else that stands up here, and they just somehow float on top of all those things and never touched. Oh, no, it happens. But Paul says, I need you to know how I felt. I told you so. I didn't want to be in this storm. I didn't want to go through it. I didn't want to deal with these challenges. He said, but I'm going to tell you how to maintain your hope when you can't see the stars. The first part, he said, let them suffer. Let them cry. Let them whine. And I believe he heard it all from the bottom of the boat. But somewhere along that line, his heart began to be moved by the plight and the feelings of those that were on the boat. Because you see, Paul had hope. And Paul, there was one person that still had hope on that boat. And it says, he said in verse number 22, he said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. You got to understand what he's saying there. He said, I exhort you, be of good cheer. Now, you're not seeing it yet. You're not seeing it yet. They're in a storm of all storms. It's like the mother of all storms. If you study that particular chapter, it is insane, the storm that's going on. Their little boats being tossed around like a rag doll. Now you got a picture. Paul hasn't been up there. He hasn't been a part of this. He's just been soaking down in the bottom of the boat. And he comes up on the deck. The waves are crashing. The wind is blowing. It's dark. No sun, no stars. I can just picture him holding on to some table that's anchored down to the deck. Because he's being tossed to and fro. I can just see the waves smashing him in the face. And he's got that sea foam in his beard. He's spitting water out. He's got his hair mashed to his head. You know how water, it's all flat on his head. He's looking a little crazy. Else is petrified and being sick over the side of the boat and holding on for dear life. And here's Paul in the middle. Now, I believe part of them said, that man has lost his mind. Fear and hopelessness on everybody else's face. And here is Paul. And then he says this, be of good cheer. Rejoice. Are you crazy? Waves smashing them. Rejoice. Get excited, everybody. They just done everything they could do. They've thrown over everything they could throw over. Now they're just holding on for dear life. And Paul shows up, amen, in his craziness and says, rejoice. Why? Amen, because there's power in rejoicing. When you come to the place where you can't see the stars, the place that you can't seem to get past, the place where you can't seem to overcome, amen, that's the place where you began to rejoice like you've never rejoiced before. Amen. You may be hidden with waves. It may be raining on your head, but I'm here to tell this church today, rejoice. Amen. It's time to worship like you've never worshiped before. Oh, I've been preaching this a lot, and I just felt prompted to do it again. Amen. I was reading this verse of Scripture in an Asian translation, and it really snuck in on me. And the Scripture says, the Scripture we all know, God inhabits the praises of His people. I love that Scripture. But I read it in that Asian translation, and they translated it this way. When you rejoice, or when you worship, God moves into your neighborhood. I got telling you, that I've been chewing on that for several months now. Because something begins to take place when God moves into the neighborhood. Amen. I'm worshiping right now, not just because I need to shout or I need some attention or I want people to see how good I can dance or how much I can wave the little palm branches here, and, you know, and how good that is and how great and, you know, how nice my suit is. That doesn't matter. I'm worshiping because I need God to move into my neighborhood. I have determined that I can't make it on my own. Amen. That's why God told Zerubbabel, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, can I just stay here for just a second? Amen. When God moves into the neighborhood, I'm here to tell you, you may feel worthless, you may feel like you're hopeless and helpless, but when God moves into the neighborhood, guess what happens? Property values begin to go up. Amen. Things that were worthless before, when God moves into the neighborhood, all of a sudden things be. My Lord, let me put it in a way. You know what? Your neighborhood may not be that great, but I promise you, if Warren Buffett starts buying property in your neighborhood, people are going to start taking notice of it, and property values are going to start going up. It's not about you. It's about the one that moved in with you. Oh, I can't preach that in its entirety, but someone needs to understand. I'm not just worshiping to worship. Amen. I may not be able to see the stars. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that I serve a God that knows the end from the beginning. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen. So when I come in here today, amen, and things aren't going the way that I think they should, I worship anyway. I praise God anyway, because God makes a way where there is no way. Can I just say a couple more things? I feel like to stay there. It's okay if I'm down here. You see, when God moves into your neighborhood, see, when I was young, God, my parents didn't leave us alone, but when we got a little older, they did a little short trip, you know, they let us stay. But there was always a retired couple that was our neighbor that was always home. And the rule was, if something happened, that we were to call those elders across the way. And Mom and Dad trusted that to happen because they were older and they were retired and they didn't really go anywhere. They kind of stayed close. And so they were always available. That's awesome with God, is when He moves into the neighborhood, He's always home. Don't matter how bad it is, how late it is, or how early it is, I can call upon Him. I know this sounds like a youth pastor message, and I was a youth pastor, so I preach on the youth pastor level right now. Amen. But when I call upon Him, He's always home. So when I worship, I'm ensuring that God is always on location. Amen. I may not understand what's going on. Amen. I may not see the stars. Let me just stop there. You know why that's important? It's because the stars dictated the direction of the boat. I can't tell where I'm going. I can't tell. I can't make plans. I can't make adjustments. I'm just in the storm, and I can't see the stars. But I'm going to rejoice, because if I do, God will show up. Oh, I got a few of you. I'm going to keep going. Amen. But you know the other thing about when God moves in the neighborhood? When you have a good neighbor, if you're cooking, you run out of something, guess what? You go to your neighbor's house. I don't know if they still do that or not. And you go borrow a cup of sugar. Problem, we don't do that probably so much anymore because it's all in the microwave now. But if you're going to borrow something, you're cooking something, you start something and you run out of. See, sometimes we don't start things because we're afraid we don't have what is needed to complete it. But we serve a God that when you run out, God says, that's where I begin. Amen. Sometimes God's calling you to do a project. Is God calling you into a ministry? This is a ministry thing. You guys are doing that this afternoon. Let me just kind of step in that for a minute. Amen. There's some people that don't do ministry because they're afraid and say, well, I lack this and I lack that and I don't have this and I don't have that. And if I do that, it's going to show that I don't have what it takes. And you realize today that it's not about you. It's about God. I kind of picture God like he's got all the tools that I possibly could need. He's got every saw. He's got every hammer. He's got every drill. He's got every screwdriver. He's got every wrench that's both metric and imperial. He's got everything that I need. So when I start my project, when I step into what God wants me to do, amen, that's why Lord, that's why I rejoice, because I'm aware of my shortcomings. I'm aware of the things that I don't have, but I'm also aware that I serve a God that can be exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask. Amen. I'm here to tell somebody right now that if you can say it and if you can think it, God can do it.
Pastor, the presbyter's coming tonight. He can fix everything that I mess up right now. Because you see, so many times we don't start. See, you told me to go easy on everybody today. I'm sorry. I'll do my best right now, okay? See, the thing is, sometimes we don't have the desire to worship because we don't have the need for God. And sometimes we don't have the need for God because we've stayed in a realm where it's comfortable, and we've never been willing to step into the place where we might not have everything together. When I'm not the master of this domain, when I don't have all the skills that are needed, when I don't know how it's all gonna turn out. Amen. God said, if you'll worship me, I'll just move into the neighborhood. And as long as I'm in the neighborhood, amen, I'm gonna give you what you need to facilitate. I feel like I'm preaching everywhere in the Bible right now. Amen. But when Jesus fed the 5,000, amen, anyone remember that story? The next scripture says he sent the disciples to the other side. He told them to go to the other side. But he knew a storm was coming as well. But I'm here to tell you, they didn't know the storm was coming. They were just willing to obey the voice and the prompting of God. And when they did, God showed up. It says in the midnight hour, in the dark, right before dawn, in the darkest time, in the middle of a storm, Jesus comes walking on the water. When they couldn't get out, God got in. When they couldn't get out of the storm, God said, don't worry about it. I'm going to show up in your storm. I'm going to walk in. Oh, I love it. I preach this too. Amen. That's why God, when he stepped into that storm, he was walking on top of the very thing that's trying to kill them. The waves and the wind and the rain were trying to destroy them. But God said, no worries, guys. I'm walking on top of the very thing that's trying to kill. I'm here to tell somebody, when God walks into your situation, he's walking on top of all the things that are weaknesses to you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm here to encourage somebody. Amen. I feel like for years somebody in here has been holding back because you were afraid of somebody finding out about your shortcomings. Somebody, you know, I don't want anyone, you know, I as long as I look good and smell good and don't say much, nobody will know. But God's saying, you know what? What did Paul say? In my weakness, he's made strong. See, sometimes God doesn't look strong. We're not great witnesses of God because we're unwilling to show our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses. But when you do, that shows everybody that I can't do everything, but I serve a God who does. And when I can't see the stars, and I don't know which way to go, and I don't know how I'm going to get out of it, I worship anyway. See, that's why it's amazing. The people who are step out the most are the people that worship the most. You know why? Because we know I'm out here on the water too, and I need him more than I've ever needed him before. That's why pastors are usually the biggest worshipers, because they're the ones that have stepped into this large role that's beyond our ability and beyond our strength. But with God, all things are possible. When we're willing to step out by faith, God will do the impossible. Brother Tui, oh, I got to look at the time. Brother Tui, he was a pastor. My wife's giving me the nod. Yeah, wrap it up, Bubba. Okay, I got to be. So good. When you get a wife, you got a good thing. I got to move over here so she can't reach me. I hate that she's in the center. I get her on one side or the other. I told a preacher one time, she sits over there, so I preach there the first half of my message and over here the second half of my message. Don't take it personal. I'm not saying it's you. I'm just going to move away. Brother Tui's the central district superintendent in Fiji, and we were in the middle of the lockdown, and we couldn't go to hospitals and all that kind of stuff. And it was all the same. And the Lord spoke to him one day, and we had military that surrounded our hospitals. And Brother Tui, the Lord spoke to him and said, he had heard that there was a man from his village that was in the ICU, and they had told him, called the family and said, you can't come in, but just want you to know he's not going to make it, and we'll let you know when he's gone. And so Brother Tui, that morning, he had never met the guy, but the Lord spoke to him in his devotion time and said, I want you to go pray for that man. Brother Tui said, I can't get in there. Military, only hospital personnel in and out. I can't get in there. Lord said, I didn't ask you how you're getting in. I said to go. So Brother Tui, he went and he said, Pastor, I wish I could have told you that I went there, you know, and just walked up to the gate, said, I've got a word. You know, let me in. But he said, kind of like Paul, his humanity showed out. And he walked into that place and he got out of his car at the hospital. And he did what my mom would call meandering. He just kind of, he said, I was making my way towards the gate, but I was not really sure how I was getting in the gate. And he said, I had my back to the gate. I was almost to the gate, and I had my back to it, and I was walking backwards. Like I wasn't going to the gate, but I was moving that direction. And he said, I heard a voice behind me say, Praise the Lord, Pastor Tui. And he said, so I turned around. There was a young man in his military uniform and his gun and everything, all the military stuff. And there was five or six of them there. And this one guy looked at him. He said, I looked at the guy. I didn't know who he was. I'd never seen him before or since. And he said, I just said, praise the Lord, young man. And he said, come on in. So Brother Tui said, now, I felt bold in the Holy Ghost. He walked in. He walked into that place. He said, I'm walking through the hospital, and I realize I'm the only one not in hospital garb. And I'm thinking, somebody is going to notice, because you know ICUs are not on the outside, they're like in the middle of the place. And so he said, I'm going through, finding my way into that place. And he said, Lord, just get me through. And so he got in. Now he got to the ICU desk. Now, don't mean to offend anybody, but I'm here to tell you that ICU and you think, well, just go in. No, because ICU nurses are mean. They're very mean. And I know this because I'm married to one. Don't worry, don't start throwing stuff yet. I'll explain what I mean. I remember when we were first married, when she came home from a 12-hour shift, and I had a little fever, and I wasn't feeling good, you know, snot running, and I was talking like this. And then she opened the door, and I was standing there, my beautiful self, saying, I'm sick. Not thick, for those that would said amen. I said sick. And I'll never forget, she looked at me. She'd been 12 hours on the ICU floor. And she looked at me and said, can you breathe on your own? And I said, yeah. And so she said, take a Tylenol, go to bed, you'll be fine. If I wasn't on a breathing machine, I didn't rate high enough to get her medical expertise. So I said, they're mean, mean. So he gets to the ICU desk. And he was a little nervous because, you know, you can't get into the ICU without going by this desk. And he said the lady never even lifted up her head. She was filling out paperwork, and she just said, you got 2 minutes. So he said, I just walked by. He said, I got into that place. He said, I found the guy. He was in the middle. There was about 5 or 6 other people there. He was in the middle. And he said, I slid in, and I took him by the hand. And he did what I call, he prayed his hospital prayer. Now, if anyone's in hospital ministry, you'll understand what I'm saying right there. Because it's the prayer that you pray that you don't want to, you know, you're being quiet, you're in the ICU, you know, you just don't want to disturb anybody. So you're like, Lord, you know, touch them, Jesus, you know. You're a healing, you know. I call it my denominal prayer sometimes. He said, I prayed that prayer. He said, just kind of, and he said, I was nervous, and I prayed it. Nothing happened. And he said, and I'm sitting there, and I still got the guy by the hand. And he said, and I'm thinking to myself, God, you got me in the gate. You got me by the ICU nurse desk. You got me into this place, and nothing happened. And he said, I started to preach to myself. I said, God, you didn't get me in here for, and he forgot he had a hold of the hand of the guy still. And he got in his preaching self. And in Fiji, they're all evangelists. They preach wild there. And so he's got him by the hand. He said, God, you are a healer. God, you can do this. I know you can do this. God, you pray. You said, by your stripes, we are healed. And so, Lord, I pray that healing. And he's flailing this guy's arm. He said, I'm getting fired up in the spirit. He said, and all of a sudden, I feel something grab my arm. He said, I loop in my eyes, and that guy's right there. His eyes are this big. He's got a tube that's still in his throat. And his eyes are huge. And brother two, he said, I stepped back because he was like right there. I thought he was going to kiss me or something. He was right there. He said, I stepped back. And he said, the guy started to, now my wife tells me I have to say this little disclaimer. If you're in this position, please do not do what I'm about to say, okay? She says, I'm glorifying this like you're supposed to do this. Don't do it. But he began to pull that tube out of his throat without help. And dingers and buzzers and everything's going off now. And brother two, he said, I was so fired up. Now you think, now I'm going about to lose about half of you right here. He was so fired up and so excited. He said, praise God. And when he said, praise God, he said the guy beside him sat up too. Now I'm about to cut it. I'm about to cut it in the hand. Now I'm about to lose another bunch of you. Because he was so, that guy's now doing the same thing. More bells and dingers are going. There's nurses coming. And he just went, thank you, Jesus. And And the guy on the other side sat up too. There were three of them that sat up under the power and presence of God. When you don't know what to do, you just do what you can do and let God do what only God can do. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I've got to be fully transparent. I don't know what happened to the other two guys. It was COVID. We couldn't get in. We didn't know who they were. And as a matter of fact, the nurse just came in and said, I don't know who you are, but get out of here. Music can come back. I'm about ready to land this plane. I should have landed 5 minutes ago. But he came. But I do know what happened to the first guy. We picked him up at the hospital the next day. He walked to the car. He got in the car. We drove him to our headquarters. We gave him a Bible study on baptism in the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in Jesus' name and came up out of the tank speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I'm here to tell you today, when you can't see the stars, rejoice. Rejoice. Paul said, he told him, he said, but there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whose I serve. In other words, he was saying, guys, rejoice. God's with us. I can't control the storm. I can't see the stars either. But I'm rejoicing because God is with me. He said, there's an angel standing by me right now. And he said, I don't care if it's a tsunami. This thing can't take me down. He said, the ship's going to be lost. But God said, I'm going to bring you ashore on the pieces of the ship. See, sometimes we think we need everything. And God says, I can accomplish what I want to accomplish with the pieces of what's left over. Some of us, Brother John told me his testimony. Is it John? Told me his testimony this morning. And the Lord's, you didn't know it, but I was questioning whether I should preach it or not. And God told me, he said, I floated him ashore on the pieces, and now I'm working a purpose and a plan for his life. I'm here to tell somebody. You said, if I had the whole boat, I could do what God wants me to do. And God's trying to tell you this morning, if you just will allow him, just be of good cheer. Just rejoice, because God's about to take the pieces of what you have left, and he's going to accomplish a great work. You say, well, I don't know. Well, you know what? God gave us his Bible, and Paul said this a second time. He says, be of good cheer, because I believe God. Listen, if God said it, he can do it. I feel like God spoke to me just now and said, there are prophecies and there have been words that have been spoken over people in this church, and you have fallen and you've made mistakes and you've had shortcomings, and you are thinking that that has disqualified you from God doing a work in your life. I'm here to tell you, if God said it, he will do it. As we stand together in this place today, my favorite scripture here is verse number 36. Can you make sure you put up verse 36? In verse 20, they said all hope was lost. In verse number 36, 16 verses later. Verse 20, all hope that they should ever be saved was lost. They were hopeless. 16 verses later, I believe two times Scripture records Paul said, be of good cheer, but I believe he said it a lot in the middle. Every wave that hit, rejoice. That's why it's important that you're in the house of God. Because a wave may hit you this week, but you come back into the house of the Lord, and your pastor's going to say, rejoice! The wind's going to blow me over. I come in on Sunday night, rejoice! It's a reminder that when you rejoice, God moves in. And it says 16 verses later, then were they all of good cheer. Don't tell me you can't make a difference. I'm the only one in my family. I'm the only one at my job. I'm the only one at my school. It just takes one that says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And all. Oh, hallelujah. You say, Paul, you didn't get to Rome. No, but God had a Malta for him. And it was at Malta that God did a revival. In a place that he didn't intend to go, God had revival in Malta. I'm here to tell you, you may end up in places you didn't intend to be, but God's going to turn it into a Malta. Now you're saying, how does this have to do with Palm Sunday? This is how it has to do with Palm Sunday. It says in verse 10 of Matthew 21, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? We already talked about it. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were worshiping God to the point that the whole city was moved. But the problem was, those same people who were shouting, Hosanna, were the same ones that yelled, crucify him. And I per se that maybe it was the darkness, the discouragement, some disappointments that happened from the Hosanna to that place, the other people's drama, the Pharisees yipping, people talking, the drama got out best of them, and all of a sudden they start yelling, crucify him. Now verse 45 of St. Matthew chapter 27 says this, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. They couldn't see the stars. They started off right with the Hosanna, but they got lost in the darkness, in the drama of where they were. But what they didn't understand was God was still there. And it says, at the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The scripture says, and then he gave up the ghost. And the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Let me just say, when that veil was rent in twain, it released something into the darkness. I'm here to tell you that God's about to release something into your darkness today. God's about to turn your life into a Malta revival. When you can't see the stars, rejoice. Because just a few chapters later, there's a day of Pentecost. And I'm jumping ahead, and you guys are going to talk about this probably Easter and Pentecost. But it began with somebody who were praying and praising God. And Jesus once again moved into their neighborhood. And they turned the world upside down. I'm here to tell somebody, God's about to move into your darkness. God's about to move in when we have a spirit of rejoicing. I'm here to tell somebody, be of good cheer. All morning long, all night long last night, all that kept rolling, tell them I said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Rejoice. Rejoice. Lord, I pray right now over this entire congregation. Lord, let there be a loosing of your spirit. Let there be a loosing of your anointing. Lord, let your anointing destroy any yoke that would hinder the moving of your spirit. Let there be liberty. Let there be freedom in this place right now. I bind infirmity. I bind sickness right now. I cast it out. I loose the virtue of the Lord. Amen. If you need the Holy Ghost, amen, throw your hands in the air. Begin to rejoice. Amen. Begin to glorify God and let God move in your life. Lord, that's it. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here to tell you, rejoice like you've never rejoiced before. You may have put down your palm branches. It's time to pick them back up again. That's it, somebody. He told Amori and Arabaha. Ah, someone needs to talk in tongues a little bit. That's it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes, 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 yes. That's it, that's it, that's it. Oh.